You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
All right, we're back here with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show, number 200. Yes, we have reached yet another milestone, number 200, the Sports Rabbi Show, the best of Israeli sports, coming to you from the Holy Land. And boy, do we have a great lineup for you today for show number 200. We have a very, very, very super-duper guest. It is none other than Jimmy Traina of Sports Illustrated, the SI Media Podcast, Traina Thoughts. He is all over Twitter, all over the internet. Jimmy Traina, what an amazing guest. We have a wonderful conversation, Yankee fandom. We talk about some of the great guests he's had, the great guests he's loved to have. We talk about Mike and the Mad Dog and all the great New York radio shows that we've seen in the past. We have a wonderful conversation. It is a lot of fun. It was such a super honor to have Jimmy Traina on with us today with the Sports Rabbi Show. It was just fantastic. You are going to love this conversation. Also on board, AJ Mitnick. AJ Mitnick comes to us from California, and we are talking about Israeli basketball. Yes, Israeli hoops. All the action, all the moves. Maccabi Tel Aviv with a ton of signings. New coaches all over the leagues. We break that all down for you on the program. Of course, if you enjoy this program, make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. We are on all those locations. Leave us a 5-star rating and a great review. Of course, you want to check us out online, www.sportsrabbi.com, in English and in Hebrew, for the latest and greatest in Israeli sports. And we are covering the Israel Olympic team. Yes, the Israel Olympic team. We have a special section on the English website just with that. Tons of articles. Make sure you check that out today. You can reach out to me at The Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, sportsrabbi.com. Jimmy Traina, he's up next. Enjoy the program. Episode number 200 of The Sports Rabbi Show.
You're listening to The Sports Rabbi.
All right, we're back here with The Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to The Sports Rabbi Show, episode number 200. Yes, we have made it to the big number 200 here in the Holy Land. And to celebrate that, we have a very, very special guest coming on board with The Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. It is none other than Jimmy Traina. If you know Jimmy Traina, he is on Traina Thoughts on SI.com. You can find him on Twitter. It's an amazing privilege and honor to have Jimmy Traina on, who talks all about great everything you need to know about media. He does that on his podcast, the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast, and it's a lot of fun. We'll be talking Yankee baseball, a lot of media stuff, and we'll take a trip down memory lane as well. Jimmy Traina, how are you today?
I'm well. Thank you for having me. Congrats on 200 episodes. That's a huge milestone. I'm honored to be the guest for the big episode. So thank you.
No, our pleasure. The guest on episode number 100 was Mark Stein, who just left, of course, New York Times to start his own little publication. You know, maybe we should just start off with that. I was going to ask you a little bit later on about that. But we're starting to see a lot of people, you know, talking about media here, a lot of people moving into their own little space, and maybe they're going to the non-traditional route if it's Substack or Patreon. We're seeing a lot of fans that are starting their own websites through that way. And were you surprised to see a person like Mark Stein, who's been a stalwart at so many different media places for so many different years, taking that step now, leaving the New York Times?
I wasn't surprised, like you said. The way media now is distributed and consumed is completely different than, and it keeps changing as well. There's just so many outlets out there, so many ways to build someone's brand. You know, media, even people with, you know, the traditional media job, they, you know, most people usually have multiple gigs. So this sort of just fits in with that. And, and then on the flip side, we're coming out of a pandemic here where a lot of media companies lost money or struggled, and, mm-hmm. you know, salaries are going to take a hit, unfortunately, because of that. And If outlets can't pay, then, you know, people can try to go out on their own and put together a few jobs and build out a little career that way. So I wasn't surprised.
Yeah, I find it to be very interesting. I think there was an initial shock reaction that I had that Mark would make that move. But nonetheless, like you said, you know, he can definitely carve out his own space. And today I got his, you know, his weekly email. You know, he obviously is going to try to start building that back up from the New York Times email list and so forth and so on with him. We noticed that you talked about the money being lost in media. It's interesting to see, you know, Susan Waldman and, of course, John Sterling have not been yet on the road. They have not traveled with the New York Yankees. And he actually, you know, had a home run call that was on a replay, which didn't look that well and really wasn't his fault to some extent. Right. How much has that been damaging to, you know, to the sport of baseball and to any sport, not having your broadcasters live on site?
I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, the Sterling thing was got a lot of play because I think it was entertaining. I don't necessarily know that it's a referendum on, listen, you want announcers on site. Okay. And I think there are probably some companies or some maybe executives who thought, oh, you know, we were able to do this during the pandemic. Maybe we can save money here or there, but I don't think that's the long-term solution. I think you want your broadcasters on site. You know, there's COVID protocols. Every state is different. Every company is different. So that's a factor. But I think, you know, listen, they'll get on the road eventually, I'm sure. You know, I don't think it's a permanent thing where announcers will not be on site.
You know, Sterling is such a character.
Yes.
And he's not young. And he's still out there. He's an acquired taste, obviously. I was able to listen to him, you know, game in, game out when I lived in New York City for many years from the early 90s to the mid 2000s. What do you think has made him such a staying power in the New York, you know, New York Yankees radio scene?
He's highly entertaining, and you use the perfect word. He is a character. He's become the fabric of the Yankees. And I think there's also up until last year, John never missed an inning. Mm-hmm. From 1989 until last year, or maybe it was the year before. From 89 to 2019, he didn't miss an inning. I mean, he is the voice of Yankee fans every summer. And there's something to that with baseball. And, you know, and I do think what I appreciate about John, and I think other people, it's not an act. What you hear on the radio is how I've met him. I've spoken to him off the air. Mm-hmm. That is not an act. That's how he is. And I think in this business, authenticity is as important as anything. And I think that comes through with him. So there's a lot of factors that go into his popularity.
No, it's quite amazing. Of course, we're on here with Jimmy Trane, of course, of Sports Illustrated. Talking about.
So I'm just curious about one thing, though. So you're in Israel. So how do you consume the game? Just on like the Odyssey app, or how do you?
That was going to be one of my questions. Actually, I asked Dove Kramer. I sent out a message today. When is Audacity going to finally allow us to listen to their stuff here in Israel or even in Europe? You are not able to get their broadcast anymore. They basically,
well, we were just able to listen to it here. And I mean, I know last year, I think in the middle of last season, I think is when I was able to first say, hey, Alexa, play WFAN, and the game would be on. They used to block it, you know, it used to be blacked out basically. Mm-hmm. So we only got that in the middle of last year. So, you know,
so we have a lot of diehards listen to the MLB.com that has all the games audio. You can also watch the video. You know, you have, you know, a lot of transplant New Yorkers, obviously, that are going to be listening to this here in Israel right now. And all those NHL.com, all those apps, the NFL, you know, app, everybody has them. And we watch the games. I mean, on local TV, we do get a tremendous amount of baseball and football. Obviously, in the hockey playoffs, we got a bunch. NBA, we get tons. Of course, with Denny Avdia, an Israeli player playing for the Washington Wizards. But in general, NBA is king here. Like, you can have games on from 2 a.m. all the way up to, you know, the West Coast games that end around 8 a.m. when my kids are going off to school. So it's sometimes we live in this alternate reality where our days only begin in the nighttime and then they end sometime like in the morning. Because, you know, if you're a sports addict, and I love Israeli sports, so those are played at normal hours, somewhat normal hours. But I also love the American sports. I want to consume my Yankees. I want to consume my New York Jets. I want to consume the Montreal Canadiens, the New York Rangers, and so forth and so on, or the New York Knicks.
So, but for the local Yankee games, you use the MLB TV app.
Okay, that's the way to go, and that's pretty much how everybody does it. Or they have a VPN and they can listen to WFN. But you know, obviously, if you're on an iPad or a phone, you don't have a VPN, so you're kind of stuck with that. So it's a little bit I've been pestering them. They've got to open that up. I miss listening to WFN. Is not just myself, but a lot of people here miss it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And then we're stuck with, you know, if we want to have anything in New York, it's usually ESPN that we can get the New York version. But we're limited. If I want to listen to Canadian, I grew up in Montreal. So if I want to listen to TSN radio, I can listen to that. That's available on all the various apps. But WFAN, all the CBS radio stations are not available. So that's kind of frustrating. But whatever, we manage. Yeah. You know, you mentioned before an inning. About an inning that John Sterling missed. I believe he would have liked to have missed the ninth inning of Sunday's game, wouldn't he have, Jimmy?
Yeah, that was the crazy thing is that's the second time that's happened recently. It happened with Chapman a couple of weeks ago, and now yesterday, Sunday, it happened with Chad Green. And the worst part, I mean, there's three things there. One, it happens against the Astros, who have become the Yankees, you know, second enemy behind the Red Sox. Two, it prevents you from sweeping the Astros, which would have been a nice, you know, on the road, which would have been a beautiful way to go into the All-Star break. And then three is that loss now has to sit there and be in your mouth until Friday, basically, when they come back from the All-Star break. So that was devastating on many levels.
And Chapman's an All-Star also, and he's been going through some rough times.
They should have two All-Star games, one with the people who were All-Stars before they banned the sticky stuff, and then the ones who have succeeded without the sticky stuff, which he would not have made.
So. You know, so Gerrit Cole, who had been, you know, since the sticky stuff was banned, which is a whole other story as it is. I don't understand how they, you know, you make up rules along the way so you can change all different types of things, just as you recommended on your train of thoughts on your podcast right after Sean McDonough. That it's kind of crazy that you have these doubleheaders that are day-night doubleheaders or split doubleheaders, and they're still playing seven innings apiece, which is crazy. I mean, I think starting a runner at second base is nuts. I'm a traditionalist, you know, they can speed things up. But Gerrit Cole was brilliant. He kind of put maybe that sticky stuff thing away with that 128, 129 pitch performance. You know, how often do we see complete games these days, Jeremy?
You don't see complete games often, and you never see a complete game with 130 pitchers or whatever, 129 or whatever it was. That you don't see at all, ever. I'm not convinced that this means Gerrit Cole is going to be what he always is. I need to see it, a couple more times, but he definitely sent a message with that performance.
No, for sure. Are you surprised that the Major League Baseball decided to crack down on all this sticky stuff in the, you know, really mid-season here, or a little bit before mid-season? Shouldn't have they have maybe waited if they wanted to make some kind of major change?
Yeah, I was going to say before you finish the question, my surprise is that they did it mid-season. If you wanted to do it before the season, when during the off-season, I'd have no problem with it at all. I think it's extremely bizarre and confusing to decide to address it in the middle of the season. That I don't understand. I don't think it makes sense. And I don't think it's really fair to the players and teams and organizations. It should have been addressed, and I'd have no problem with it, not in the middle of the season. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Of course, we're on here with Jimmy Trana. Jimmy from Sports Illustrated. You started there, I believe, 2000. Is that true? Is that the
A lifetime ago.
That's quite amazing. You had a little escape to Fox Sports for a bit in the middle there. You started off with Hot Clicks, which became Train of Thoughts. You know, what's it like to be with a company for so many years? I mean, you've seen Sports Illustrated go through so many different types of, I guess, formations, machinations. They've changed so much. You know, when I was growing up, and I'm sure when you were, I think I'm in my late 40s, but I always waited for that Sports Illustrated to come in the mail. I couldn't wait to open it up, and there would always be a huge feature in the, you know, one of those big feature articles that I, you know, even as a teenager, I would just wrap my head around it. I would love it. And then kind of the magazine business is kind of lost. It's lost. You still have the daily covers now online. It seemed that it took Sports Illustrated a little bit of time to also catch up with the paywall, which the Athletic started doing, obviously, about 4 or 5 years ago. ESPN has been doing it for, you know, even longer than that. But what have you seen in the time that you've been at Sports Illustrated over the past 20 years or so?
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, you say, you know, what it's like to be the one company for that long. And to me, it feels like it's been maybe like 7 different companies over the years. You know, you have different, oh, yeah, we were part of AOL at one point, mm-hmm. and Time Warner and Turner and the latest reincarnation. So it feels like I've been with several companies. But, you know, I think the brand is still extremely strong. I think the brand is relevant. I think it has authority. The cover of the magazine still means something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's tough because they started in 1954, 1956, whatever it was, as a magazine. And now we're in this digital world and you got to change and adapt and still try to be true to this magazine. And, you know, there's a lot of light. And then even in the digital world, that completely changes, you know. When I started HotClicks, which you mentioned, there was no social media. There was no Twitter. Mm-hmm. There was no Instagram. And then, you know, you get your head wrapped around that. And then here comes podcasts. And then, you know, video is huge. It's the way the business changes so much and so fast is very challenging. It's also exciting. And it's also, some areas. But, you know, from a business standpoint, it can be difficult. Yeah, we have a great staff. And I think the content we churn out is, you know, you mentioned the daily cover. And, you know, we have I think we do a great job covering the NFL and the NBA. Mm-hmm. You know, we have Dan Gartland who took over HotClicks after I had left from Andy Gray. And that's still rolling and very popular. So we have a little something for everyone. And I think we do an excellent job on a day out. Basis.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really neat that you've been able to pick up some, you know, hot talent. If it's even Howard Beck, who's, you know, another guy that was at New York Times, Bleacher Report. Yep. You know, he had a lead article on your website today, earlier, right before the daily cover came out. You know, my hours are different than yours.
Right, right.
At two in the afternoon, my time, it's only 7 in the morning. Sometimes you guys don't have up the daily cover yet. But of course, yeah. You know, Monday Morning Quarterback was up. You know, those are all enjoyable things. And I really believe that, like you said before, that the cover of the magazine still means a lot. The brand is important. And I think that it looks like things are, you know, going the right way for Sports Illustrated these days. So
yeah. What's interesting, too, is athletes, you know, we mentioned the cover. Athletes still want to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Athletes still want that Sports Illustrated cover story across all sports. And I think that's important as well.
100%. You know, look at some of the other outlets that are out there. The Ringer, for mm-hmm. example. They just started, you know, JJ John Jastrzemski has his New York, New York podcast. Now, I don't know if he had a chance to listen to it at all yet. I always thought that he was going to be the next Mad Dog Russo. I was dreaming. I had this dream that, for all those years and Mike and the Mad Dog, and I wish they would have never parted. I think I speak for so many people out there because it was just so enjoyable to listen to the two of them. And when they get together for those, you know, those reunion shows, they're always so great. I thought maybe JJ was going to be Mike's partner the last 5-6 years, and it just kind of didn't happen. I don't know why it didn't happen. Maybe that's just my only feeling. I don't know, but where do you see a guy like JJ and his talent?
Well, I mean, in a way, I think it's good that it didn't happen because I don't think either of those guys, Mike and Chris, can have another partner. It just, the comparison, whoever would be in that other spot would just get compared to the other partner and it would be bad. And, you know, you said you thought he'd be the next Mad Dog. And that's not good either, because there's really only one Mad Dog. So, you know, you got to be yourself. And, you know, to be the next Chris Russo, who's this radio legend and icon, that's a lot there. And, you know, then you know, you're going to be pegged as sort of an imitator and not original. So that's not good. You know, I think it's better to sort of stay away from those things if you're in that business.
Interesting. I mean, I remember way back when I lived in Montreal as a you know, kid, I used to have a little transistor radio. I put it underneath the pillow. I'm sure you had the same thing, Jimmy. You know, at night, you'd be able to pick up, you know, the strong stations. And I remember when WFAN started at 1050, and I was able to scratch it out in the evening in the late 80s. And then, of course, they moved to 660, which was probably a little bit more powerful, a little bit more open space on the radio dial. So even in Montreal, yep, I'd be able to get that at night. Or I'd be listening to some hockey games from WBBM in Chicago or you know, in Detroit. Or there was always these great stations. You know, Boston never came in too strong, which was good anyways. So especially if you didn't like the Bruins or the Red Sox, that was good that you couldn't listen to those teams. But, you know, do you remember those days back when you were a kid? Just, you know, sticking that transistor underneath your, you know.
I didn't do it with the transistor. I always had like a big boom box, but I had it. I remember having it right next to my bed. And, you know, I used to love listening to Steve Summers on the overnight. And, you know, during the day, I was always listening to Mike and the Mad Dog. And yeah, I mean, listen, it was also, again, so different back then, but now with podcasts, you can listen to any radio station in America, as you're proving, anytime mm-hmm. you want. Like, you know, back then the fan was such a thing, you know, like before a game, a big playoff game, you wanted to listen to. I remember Mike and the Mad Dog. I mean, I don't know how many people remember this. Mike and the Mad Dog used to do live shows after Yankee playoff games, mm-hmm. you know, because that was, you know, how we did it, you know.
They'd be in the parking lot of Shea Stadium. I remember that for the Subway Series. And they were broadcasting. I remember hanging out there for a while afterwards. I think whatever game number it was. I was at game 5 of the Subway Series. So that was great mm-hmm. to see the Yankees win. I was at so many amazing, you know, Yankee games. If it was David Wells' perfect game, David Cohn's perfect game. See, if you had a Sunday package, and I had one for years and years and years, you lucked out. You got to see both of those perfect games because they were both on Sundays.
Right, right.
Which was pretty
neat. Right.
Which was, yep. You know, it was really quite amazing. Those were some great, great teams, great, great teams. You know, Jimmy, you've interviewed so many amazing people over your time. You know, if it's Mike Tirico, Troy Aikman, Jim Nantz, Dan Patrick, Joe Buck, Kevin Harlan, Bob Lee. I mean, the list goes on and on. Jim Ross, just a couple weeks ago. Roman Reigns is a frequent visitor. If you had one interview that you did and you were to say, you've got to listen to this interview. If you've never, there are people that are listening to this right now. Some of them obviously know who you are. Some of them don't. What would you tell them? You've got to listen to my interview with who?
You know, it's funny because I forget the things I've done. So it's a harder question than you think. I would say I had Tony Reale on my podcast. I don't remember if it was 2018 or 2019. And it was the first interview he did. He had the ultimate tragedy in his life. Unfortunately, his wife was giving birth to twins. One of the twins did not make it. One did. Very emotional, obviously. You can't really put into words what that is. It's hard to describe, but Tony did the first interview with me after that. And I would, you know, I'm proud of that podcast. I really appreciated his honesty, his speaking about it. It was moving. It was powerful. So, I cite that one, but if someone's looking for sort of the more traditional media, you know, I've done so many. The most recent one was Sean McDonough. I thought was great because he was brutally honest. I think right. That one, if someone's listening to this and they listen to that one, which is the last one from last week, I think that gives you a feel for what the show usually is on a week to week basis.
Now, Jimmy, who is somebody that you would like to interview that you haven't yet, or that you haven't yet and could, or haven't yet and can't if the person has passed away or just impossible? Is there somebody out there that you'd love to have?
I've tried to get Charles Barkley for 3 years. He won't do it. In terms of like sports media, he's the one I would like to get on.
He won't do it?
No, I keep getting no's. I don't know why, but I keep getting no's.
What did you say about him back in 2000 or something?
I don't know. I've wondered that many, many times. But Barkley, from a media standpoint, would be the guy. And if you take out, you know, if you don't do media, then it would be Larry David. Be the dream guest, or The Rock. Those are the two dream guests for me.
But he does follow you, The Rock, still, right?
He does follow me, yes.
All right, so it's in the realm
of
possibility.
He's not a podcast guy, though.
You know, I'll tell you, one person that I had on that was fantastic a bunch of years ago was Vin Scully. That was unbelievable.
I did interview him on a podcast, but not this one. Back in the day, I used to do the Hot Clicks podcast.
Right.
I did Hot Clicks, and he came on, and it was tremendous. That was probably like a top five podcast I've ever done.
It was one of the greatest interviews and privileges. And I'll tell you a quick story about that, and that'll get you out of here.
Yeah.
The guy that set up that interview, he was an intern with the Dodgers, just a plain old intern. His name is Josh Rowich. He ended up moving up the ladder, moved to the Arizona Diamondbacks, continued to climb the ladder, was a VP or something. 2 weeks ago, he was named as the new head of the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, that's a great move up the ladder story for you.
Isn't that a great move up the ladder? I mean, that to me is just tremendous. I'll leave you with this thought. Would you want to interview Vince McMahon? Of all these guys.
Oh, absolutely.
He's got to be on your list, Jimmy, right?
Now, he would be tough. He would be really tough, but I would absolutely love to do it. Yeah, for sure. Oh, absolutely. But he would be tough. He would be tough.
This was an absolute honor and a pleasure. Jimmy Traina, thanks so much for giving us the time here in Israel. It was a lot of fun. I wish we can crack open a couple of cold ones with Stone Cold maybe one day. You ever make it out to the Holy Land? You have a place to stay, a tour guide extraordinaire. I'll take you to all the hot spots, all the fun games that you don't see, all the flares and all the action that we have here in the stadiums, which is kind of still like Europe.
Right.
Totally different here, but it's unbelievable.
I appreciate that. I will I will keep that offer in mind, and you've been extremely nice. I thank you for having me on, and keep up the good work.
You're listening to The Sports Rabbi.
All right. We're back here with The Sports Rabbi, Josh Halleckman. Welcome aboard to The Sports Rabbi Show, Holy Land Hoops, where we bring you the best of Israeli basketball all the way up north to Nahariya. We're in the second division. Down south to Eilat and all the great places in between. If it's Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, Rishon LeZion, Holon, and many, many more. To talk to us about all the latest happenings in the Israeli basketball world. And there have been a ton of signings. New coaches, all kinds of action. We have none other than Coach AJ Mitnick, the head coach of Inter Aliyah, a brand new basketball team. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. AJ Mitnick, of course, has worked with Maccabi Tel Aviv, Nes Ziona, Rishon LeZion, and many, many more. He's been an assistant coach over there. We are going to be running down all the action. Of course, Maccabi Tel Aviv with tons of signings. AJ Mitnick, how are you today?
I'm doing great in sunny California. Been following from afar what's going on in Israeli League, and pretty excited about the upcoming season.
Yeah, so before we hit all the latest news in Israeli basketball, let's talk about your new position, head coach of Inter Aliyah. What exactly is Inter Aliyah? Talk a little bit about that. What is this project? And let the listeners know out there, because it's super interesting.
So Inter Aliyah, was founded by Ricky Horvath and Sam Sank, about 7 years ago almost, and Danny Markovich, who actually went with me to IDC. And they kind of came with an idea of starting a sports club for Olim in Tel Aviv that, I'm sure I know when you're in Ole in Israel. One of the things that we kind of miss out on is that we didn't grow up with these clubs. There are some people maybe like you and like me that, Maccabi Tel Aviv or Hapoel Jerusalem managed to draw us into Israeli basketball. But for the most part, you know, guys who go to yeshiva for the year, who go on these programs with Masa, who go on year course, who go on Birthright and end up making Aliyah, kind of have a disconnect to, you know, Israeli sports. And this year they were deciding to go into basketball. And myself and, you know, my good friend and colleague, Rami Levy, who, you know, worked with me in B'nai Herzliya, actually has his own agency. You know, we've spoken for many years about, you know, how cool it would be if we could start a basketball club, you know, for Olim in Tel Aviv. So, you know, once Inter Aliyah was looking to get into basketball, you know, we kind of jumped on that opportunity. And I'm really excited about it. I think it has a chance to be, you know, I know Ricky and Sam have been speaking that they have motivations both in soccer and basketball to get to the highest leagues. And, you know, a guy like me who works in Nes Ziona, I look at Yaniv Mizrahi, who built Nes Ziona from a fifth division team to a European champion. I look at Rishon, who, you know, Yitzhak Perry took the team in the low levels 40 years ago and was able to win the championship. And I kind of see guys who went to clubs, you know, from the ground up and built them into something. And, you know, I think for me, it just kind of, you know, all the stars are aligning, get a chance to be a head coach, get a chance to start a club from the beginning. And also as an Ole who, you know, is Zionistic, you know, really want to encourage people to, you know, move to Israel and integrate into Israeli society. I think it kind of checks off all the boxes for me. I'm really excited about it.
It sounds like a great project. Now, AJ, if I'm a basketball player looking to play and I'm an Ole, how could they find out if they can cut it and make the team?
So we're actually planning to have tryouts in Tel Aviv on July 19th and 26th. You know, we're looking really for players who have, you know, high level high school experience and above. But obviously, you know, everybody's path when they move to Israel is a little bit different. You know, I've been at the Sportech in Herzliya and Tel Aviv many times. You can see a lot of guys who, you know, came to Israel, play ball on a regular basis and might even be better than they were when they were younger. So if you think you have what it takes to play semi-pro ball, like definitely you can reach out to me. You can find Inter Aliyah on all social media platforms. But, you know, if anybody out there is listening, you know, any ex-college players who are working in high tech in Tel Aviv, send them my way.
Well, there you go. So we got the serious business out of the way first. Now we can get on to the action off the court. That is happening in the top divisions. And we got to start off with Maccabi Tel Aviv, AJ. Maccabi Tel Aviv has kind of overhauled the squad a bit. A bunch of players will not be back with the team this year, and we'll let you know who those are right off the bat. Chris Jones, even though they had an option for a second year, they declined that option. He is a free agent. The rumors are that he may go to Barcelona, that they're interested in that player. So we'll see what happens with Chris Jones. Othello Hunter, he won't be back as well. And there's still a number of players that we haven't heard about, but rumors have it that they won't be back as well. That could be Yovel Zussman, who was reported is going to be signing with Alba Berlin. We've been hearing three-year contracts over there. John DiBartolomeo, the captain, he's back. Of course, Scotty Wilbeck is back as well. Angelo Cagliaro, he is back in yellow and blue for a fourth season. TJ Klein, we do not yet know what the story is. O's Blazer as well. Maccabi Tel Aviv has made a bunch of signings, AJ. James Nunnally coming on board. Keenan Evans coming on board. Jalen Reynolds, who had been with the team, he's coming on board as well. Derek Williams, he's on board. Jake Cohen, he makes his return to Maccabi Tel Aviv for a third stint. Yiftach Ziv is signed by Maccabi Tel Aviv. So they've really overhauled the roster over here. So far, I'm liking what they've done. Little question about the defense aspect, but I like the fact that, you know, they brought in some guys that can create, guys that can score. We saw near the end of last season that they had trouble creating baskets for themselves. The ball was just going constantly back to Scotty Wilbeck. And that's not going to be the case when you have guys like Derek Williams and James Nunnally who are just, you know, good scorers, good shooters, and you have a player like Yiftach Ziv who, you know, who has no fear. He's going to take the ball to the hoop if he has to, and these guys are going to, you know, to find ways to pick up points. To me, they're going to battle for a EuroLeague playoff spot. They're still not finished yet on the Israeli side. We're going to still have to see what official news we're going to get. But what are your initial thoughts on Maccabi Tel Aviv, AJ?
First of all, it seems like they've upgraded their roster. I would say, you know, hindsight being 2020, I think Maccabi, you know, they, you know, not last season, 2 years ago in 19-20, had a fantastic season that was just basically robbed because of COVID. And I guess they kind of had the mindset of, okay, we'll just kind of run it back with the same group and or a similar group, and we should, you know, have similar results. But, you know, just the combination of other teams kind of figuring them out, plus that they really just had, you know, without making excuses for them, they had a big disadvantage compared to the rest of the league in that, you know, Israel came back and had a restart from COVID, and they didn't really have any, they had the shortest training camp and, you know, the toughest conditions, you know, just with Israel having stronger COVID restrictions than some of the other European countries. So they kind of got shortchanged last year. And it's hard to really, you know, judge some of the players on their performances last year. But I think they made a clear upgrade. I think Williams is going to be fantastic in Maccabi. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I think we either got to talk a little bit. I know on this show we've spoken a lot about Yiftach Ziv, you know, was the Israeli MVP from last year. But, you know, he's a guy who I can even say when he was a kid, you know, he really looked up to Yogev Ochayon and Gal Mekel for what they did. And I would say, like, it's not an exaggeration to say he's at least as good as they were in their prime. I think that he could come into Maccabi and make a similar impact in Maccabi like Yogev Ochayon. And I think that, you know, if Zussman's going to sign an Alba Berlin, you know, Zussman was a main player for them, started a lot of the time. I think Yiftach kind of slides into that role a little bit. I think he could be a good partner next to Scotty. You know, we'll see, I guess, if him or Keenan Evans or, you know, if they'll maybe make a 180 and bring another top flight point guard. I heard, you know, Wade Baldwin's name thrown around there. Don't know if that's true or not.
Right.
But I think they made a clear upgrade to their roster. Reynolds, you know, like, hindsight being 2020, maybe they should have kept him.
Right. Probably.
He had a pretty solid season last year. You know, it's good to see that, you know, someone came into Maccabi's program and they bring him back, you know, with both him and Jake Cohen. Jake, you know, like, I think it's pretty clear the value that he has in Israeli league. You know, he would be MVP candidate on another team. In Maccabi, he always overachieves in Israeli league. And, you know, it's despite, also his, you know, maybe
he's also his leadership. I think his leadership, he worked a lot with the younger players. You know, he was very close with Denny Avdia, of course, over the
He's close with everybody. I mean, yeah. Jake's a great guy, hard worker.
And I think that he'll be a very,
very, very smart man.
Yes, very intelligent. I think he's going to be a very good influence on some of the younger players. And Yiftach as well, kind of teaching him the ropes. And I think he comes in as a, you know, as a veteran presence, a serious veteran presence for Maccabi Tel Aviv. James Nunnally.
You know, I want to even add on to Jay Cohen. You know, I think sometimes, you know, just because he's such a good guy and, you know, he's an easy personality, people kind of like show that that's like what brings value. But what brings value of Jay Cohen is that he's a great player. He can really shoot the ball. He has post moves. He can play pick and roll. And, you know, he's an extremely versatile player. He could play at the four or five. He could play next to anybody. You know, he might have some, you know, defensive limitations at the top level of EuroLeague, but, you know, just like his, that's where his, you know, high basketball IQ really comes into play because he really knows like how to be in the right spot. You know, you could talk for hours about his character, but when it comes down to it, you know, he's among the best Israeli big guys, if not the best, and he should be in Maccabi, and he rightfully so.
Yeah, for sure. Question mark for me a little bit on James Nunnally. Hasn't played consistently for, you know, a couple of years right now. Did end off the season in the NBA, which is a positive. But I think he'll be okay. I think he's going to come in. It's a nice signing by Maccabi. He's going to, you know, again, instant offense, great shooter, can take the ball to the hoop. I think they did a very nice job with their signings. I think that they did a good job. They brought in some good guys, good players. good mix. It was clear that Chris Jones was not a a favorite of Yanis Varopoulos, and they were able to replace him with Keenan Evans, which I believe is an upgrade. I know that sometimes it kills them to think, well, we spent the whole year and we invested in this guy, and now he's going to go somewhere else, and he's, you know, probably will end up using that experience and play well elsewhere. But, you know, they did the same thing with Jalen Reynolds also. They had him. They let him go develop at a team like Bayern Munich, where he was able to, you know, really, really, especially for the first two-thirds of the season, work well under one of the best coaches in the Euroleague, in Andrea Trincheri. And, you know, he walks through the front door back to Maccabi Tel Aviv, which is important as well, AJ.
Hey, you know, it's actually, I'm sure they really struggled with this decision with Chris Jones. Because it's like the equivalent of like an NBA team that's, you know, a playoff contender. And they have a first-round pick, and they're debating whether or not they should use that pick or trade that pick for a vet. And Maccabi chose to go on that pick. And, you know, to, instead of taking a, you know, veteran, a guy who's a top EuroLeague player for many years, they wanted a guy who came up from the lower levels. And, you know, they spent a year developing him that, you know, he clearly played less good than his true value last year. But, you know, you were able to see, especially in the Eilat series, like the potential that he has of what he could do. And, you know, Maccabi kind of, you know, planted the seeds. And, you know, they're not going to get the chance to eat the fruit. And, you know, there is a good chance, you know, just, you know, I was pretty down on Chris for a portion of last season.
A lot of people.
And, you know, he blew me away in that Eilat series, that I wouldn't be surprised if he goes to a bigger club than Maccabi and has a great season in EuroLeague.
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility.
You know, I think in the end, you know, Maccabi's going to be judged by – you know, how well they'll do this season with what they have. And, you know, Keenan Evans, I'd say he's a similar, you know, gamble like Chris, just, you know, the only difference is that he played in Israel, played against Maccabi. I personally am a big fan of, you know, when Maccabi and Jerusalem, you know, add a couple players who were, you know, excellent players in the Israeli league. I think it, you know, it's really healthy for Israeli basketball. You know, the top Israeli players and the top foreign players end up going to the big clubs, because, you know, when we're recruiting on the lower level teams, in recent years, it's been harder, you know, because they haven't really been taking these kind of guys. And, you know, like when I'm in Bnei Herzliya and I'm getting on the phone trying to convince a guy, you could point to Sean James, you know, who went and became a big, you know, legend in Maccabi after playing your team for a couple of years. And I think it's good and healthy for our league to have that.
Yeah, you don't have to look too far. Elijah Bryant, look at his season in Eilat, plays 2 years with Maccabi Tel Aviv, and he's now in the NBA Finals. That's a pretty good arc right there, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, big credit to Sharon Drucker for, you know, finding Elijah Bryant, especially taking him as an underclassman. You know, it's not a foregone conclusion to take an underclassman to Israel.
Yeah. You know, I think one thing about Keenan Evans that I think that really also helped Yanis Varopoulos convince that Keenan Evans was the right player for him was that he worked with Alon Hassin. And Hassin is somebody that Varopoulos trusts. He worked with him at Olympiakos under Pini Gershon. They have a long-standing relationship, and I think that also plays a part. I also believe that Scotty Wilbekin, again, in my eyes, never seemed to fit with Chris Jones beside him. He never looked comfortable. It was something that I asked Scotty many times in the press conferences, and I never quite got a straight answer. You know, it's taking time. We're still working. We're this. We're that. We don't have a full squad. I never felt that he fell in love with, you know, having Chris Jones next to him. Again, not as a person, but as a complimentary player for him. I would think that Scotty Wilbekin also had some kind of a little bit of input into a player like Keenan Evans and Yiftach Ziv, as a matter of fact, that, you know, I want these two guys. Like, I can see I can play with these two guys. It wouldn't surprise me if that also was a little piece of influence, Adrian.
You know, it's funny. Is you know, you can see how much things have changed, and in 2021 we're talking like about whether or not a guy in Maccabi, who for the most part came off the bench, like should come back in a year when Maccabi blew a bunch of playoff games, didn't easily win the finals, was looking struggling on offense, didn't make the playoffs in EuroLeague. If they would have had a season like that in, 2001, every single player on the team probably would be switched. and I could just say this from being in Maccabi. In Maccabi, it's not just that they want to win the Israeli League title. They want to win the sixth grade title. Maccabi, you need to win titles. And, the unfortunate, or not even unfortunate, just the reality is, they won the title in Israeli League, but, they didn't convincingly win. I took the coaching course with Tal Boorstein, when I was that year, I was in Maccabi Rishon, we got smoked by Maccabi, and he told me the next course, don't worry about it. When I was playing in Maccabi, we would win by 30 every game. I think it's not unreasonable that they made some changes.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about Yovel Zeus. And of course, we're on here with AJ Mitnick, Coach AJ Mitnick, breaking down the Israeli moves over the summer so far. Yovel Zeus, I have very mixed feelings about the whole situation with him. The fact that he's most probably going to be signing with Alba Berlin on a long-term contract. Tamir Blatt's already there. On one hand, I looked at Yovel, who was supposed to be this Israeli star, even a Tal Boorstein, right, who was a formidable player for Maccabi Tel Aviv for so many years. And I thought that Yovel Zeusman was going to be a Maccabi Tel Aviv player and a stalwart for years to come. That didn't quite happen, got a little bit derailed with some of the injuries, did not have a very good season when he was playing. He had a couple of good games, the State Cup final being one of them, where he was named MVP. As well during the playoffs, he played a couple of the games. He was okay. He was a little bit better than okay. So on one hand, I feel that Maccabi's losing this Israeli piece of the pie that shouldn't be leaving. On the other hand, maybe this will be good for his career on a personal level, where he can go to a team that's not as high pressured like Maccabi and perhaps really take a leading role where he's going to start and he's going to get serious minutes in the EuroLeague, which is obviously something that's important. And it would still be a huge question mark if he would have stayed with Maccabi Tel Aviv. I also wonder if Yanis Varopoulos undressing him on the bench in front of everybody a number of times had an effect also. We asked Yanis Varopoulos about it many times, about, how he gave him a good, good whipping on the bench. And, I love him, and I've been with him for so many years, and I've given him the chances, and I work with him, and we're this and we're that. Yovel, maybe he just had enough of that treatment as well. I don't know. But I think...
Listen, I'm gonna cut you off on that point. I can say, as someone who worked with Yanis, that Yanis has a deep care for young players.
Oh, I know.
And I think Zeusman would be the first one to tell you that, Yanis, maybe he might, if you're looking from the outside and you're not listening word for word to what he's saying, it might seem like he's getting animated and he's ripping down a player, but he's actually, the content of what he's saying is trying to make players better.
Right.
And, I don't think that played any factor into his decision. I think if you would ask Yovel in private, he would clearly say that Yanis made him a better basketball player, probably even made him a better person. Mm-hmm. So I think it's okay. A little bit overstatement to say that.
Again, Coach AJ Mitnick, that's why you're on. That's why we pay the big bucks for this type of analysis. But from the outside, and when we've asked it, and we know, listen, I know that Yanis cares about him. We know that. I think.
Listen, you're a parent, if your kid, who you think is a really smart kid gets a bad grade on a test, and you're trying to get him to have a good grade, you might not be patting him on the head. You might be, giving him a little bit of a harsh, you need to do better type of moment. And I think if anything, the fact that Giannis gave him, like, you know, attention and really, like, was trying to push him shows, you know, like, that, you know, Giannis knows I have an under 20 MVP on my team. Like, I need to get this guy to be a top EuroLeague player. So I don't think that factored into his decision as much as, you know, one thing I can say, you know, you were saying going to Alba Berlin instead of Maccabi as it being a less pressure situation. And just from, you know, knowing some of the Israelis and also other European players from other countries who, you know, instead of playing in their home country on the top team went and, you know, went out to be foreigners on, you know, in another country, you know, you're treated completely different when you're a foreign player versus if you're a local player. In that, you know, when you're a local player, let's say the market is a little bit smaller. So, you know, if you're a top Israeli player on Hapoel Jerusalem and all the Israeli players are all signed on other teams in the league, so there's not just, you know, a surplus of players that can replace you in the middle of the season. If you have a bad game or two or three and the team loses, you're not like going home worried that you're going to get a text, pack your bags, you're moving to another team, or, you know, you're going home. And when you play as a foreign player in another country, you have a completely different set of pressures and expectations. So I would say some of that could be that for Yovel to take that next step in his career could be stepping out of that comfort zone a little bit and going to a club like Alba Berlin, who, despite maybe not having, you know, like a Maccabi type of expectations, they are a big club and you do need to produce there. And if you don't produce there, there are a lot of great foreign players, a lot of great American players, players who played in the NBA last year who will gladly take your spot. So I think that could be very good for his development and also for Tamir's, by the way. And I think, you know, just like I was saying, it's healthy for Maccabi and Jerusalem to be taking the top producers of Israeli league. I think, you know, all these years when we have debates about the Russian rule and the rules of foreigners and the rules of Mitaz Rifim, and they'll try and find every trick and gimmick in the world to try to give Israeli players opportunity. But the best way for us to give Israeli players opportunity is for the top Israeli players to make it to the NBA, to make it to other EuroLeague and EuroCup teams, to be signed as foreigners in other top leagues. Each time one of those players signs, you know, Yovel Zussman signs in Alba Berlin, that makes room for Iftach Ziv and Maccabi to come up and be the next guy. Denny Avdia goes out to the NBA. Oz Blazer, you know, even though it's not, maybe he's not the same level of producer as Denny, he gets a roster spot on Maccabi and kind of gets a chance to, you know, experience a new level. So, you know, I really think that, you know, whether or not this was the right move for Yovel, I think it's a good trend for, you know, we also had it last year with Segev and Menko. I think it will just, it's a good trend to have that top Israeli players are looking to play in Europe, because that's the way you'll find the next Niv Mizgav, you know, like just if right. There's more room for Israeli players to play.
All right. Of course, we're on here with AJ Mitnick breaking down all the latest news in Israeli basketball. All right, let's move away from Maccabi Tel Aviv to Hapoel Cholon. Hapoel Cholon, well, they had a little surprise, AJ. In the middle of the night, it seems that Stefanos Deras packed up his bags, like the Baltimore Colts, and went back to Greece. And he signed with AEK Athens. He did have the blessings of Cholon's management, of course. They had to bring in a brand new coach. And that is Maurizio Buzzaglia, and I will be having a big feature piece, well over 2,000 words, with a number of people that have followed his career that should be coming out later on this week, about who Maurizio Buzzaglia is. But he is the new boss of Hapoel Cholon. Hapoel Cholon has already lost a number of players, and they've kept a number of players. Willie Workman, he goes to Hapoel Jerusalem. But Chris Johnson, he's staying. CJ Harris, the word is that he wants to exercise his out clause in his contract, so he may not be back. That's a very good sign that that may not happen. Nate Sestina, who came on at the end of the season, he is in Turkey now. Niv Mizgav, I believe, is back with the team. Maxime Deja won't be back. Guy Panini, the captain, will be back. Freddie Bourdion, he is back as well. There's going to be a lot of work over there, but that was kind of a surprise that Coach Dedas decided that he wanted to be closer to home. And, you know, I understand. I think everybody understands it. I think that Hapoel and management, Eitan Lanciano and Roy Devora, were great with him, that they were able to find a way to make sure that he would be happy, despite, obviously, them being disappointed that he was not going to fulfill his contract. But Holon, I felt, acted extremely professional and allowed Coach Dedas, who was one of the most colorful characters in this league over the last couple of years, to be closer to home, AJ.
First of all, Coach Dedas did a fantastic job in Holon. I think it's quite hard to criticize him for signing an Ike. It's a big club. It's in his home country. I can't say for certain, you know, if I was in his situation, you know, if I was, you know, coaching a team in Greece and then all of a sudden a team like Hapoel Holon called me, I had a chance to, you know, live, you know, like close to all my friends and family and coach a big team in my own country, it would be quite tempting. So, you know, I definitely think, you know, you can't criticize Coach Dedas. He did a good job. I think his impact on Israeli basketball will be felt. You know, just that Holon, you know, played a very, you know, spaced out type of offense and had a lot of success with high volume 3-point shooting, which anyway, there was a trend, you know, going up like in Israeli league in terms of 3-point shooting. But I think, you know, he kind of proved his, you know, statistical model works. And I think, you know, teams in the league notice that. And like you said, I think that they're going to have a big roster turnover just because the nature of Dedas, like it wasn't just their style of play, you know, just the fact that he's like such a high, you know, a very animated character, you know, very emotional guy. I think that a lot of the players, you know, that he recruited were drawn to him. So I could just see, you know, like, you know, some of the guys not staying either A, because they just had great years. So, you know, like that's one of the unfortunate things about the Israeli league is that, you know, players come and play well and upgrade their careers. You can't really afford to keep them. Yeah. So yeah, just like CJ Harris, he crushed it last year. He definitely deserves a bigger contract, maybe bigger than Holon can pay.
Yeah, definitely possible.
So yeah, that's
what are your thoughts?
I don't want to go dive too deep too much into the new coach, you know, before I get a chance to see him and learn him a little bit, just like everybody else.
All right, you'll have to read the Sports Rabbi's article. I spoke to three top-of-the-line journalists in Italy, and they broke down Coach Visaglia, so that it should be a great read. It's going to be both English and in Hebrew. That should be coming out in the next couple of days, so make sure everybody to check that out as
Looking
well.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's really good. Really, really excited with that piece. Nessiona, they have a new coach. It is Lior Lubin. He comes, of course, back from Greece, where he spent half a season as the assistant to Oded Katash of Panathinaikos. They're going to have a mega turnover on the foreigner side. On the Israeli side, Lior Carrera is going to be back. Tal Dunn is going to be back. But that's really about it. Ryan Angola has been rumored that he will sign in Jerusalem. Patrick Miller.
Oh, also Golan Gut signed Nessiona.
The Golan Gutes, I don't know if that's official yet. I think that that is the talk. I don't think that that was 100% official yet, but that is what has been rumored out there, AJ, unless you know something more than I do.
No, I think I probably saw the same articles as you.
Okay. Angola, he will be heading, well, the rumor is that he may be heading to Apollo Jerusalem. Patrick Miller may be back. That's a player that has a contract that is out there, from what I understand. He can accept to come back, so we'll see if that happens. They'll be back in the Europe Cup. Lior Lubin, I think it's a nice opportunity for him. Gets to move back down into the center of the country. I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to do and what type of players he's going to have with the club, AJ.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Lior, you know, they made the finals in Gilboa in, you know, the 1920s and the Corona restart. And, you know, they were having a great year in Gilboa before he joined Oded Katash in Panathinaikos. And, I mean, they even admit it, you know, both Avishai Gordon and Guy Kaplan admit that, you know, they were basically, you know, going on autopilot and continuing, you know, what Lior had done in Gilboa. So you can maybe even make a case that he made back-to-back finals So, you know, if that's the case, then this year he made more finals than maybe anybody in the world, you know, between Panathinaikos and Gilboa. So, I mean, I think that that's definitely a great ad for Nesciana. A little bit, you know, just disappointing for basketball in general. I don't know all the details. You know, Brad Greenberg winning a title in Europe and not continuing, you know, whether that was on his side or the team side. I just think, you know, our league, we do need to kind of get it together and have a little bit more continuity with coach. I would say that about any team, any coach. I think one of the negative things that we have going on in basketball all around the world right now is that, you know, I think coaches, you don't always feel their impact even until the third year. But, you know, most of the teams, their patience runs out for a coach after the third game. So there's a little bit of a disconnect. But, you know, when we're getting back to Nesciana, picking up Lior Lubin, a great move. Bringing back Tal Dunn, I think, is like a no-brainer. Right. That's, you know, probably the biggest, you know, symbol right now in Israeli basketball of just, you know, like a player who grew up in a city, grew up in a club. A player who wasn't so heralded when he was younger and, you know, that came up with a team that wasn't so heralded and they kind of grew together. I think it's a very special thing, something that we should celebrate in Israeli basketball, you know, to just how special Tal Dunn is in Nesciana and what they've done. And also Lior Carrera, I mean, you know, what he did in the Final Four of FIBA and what he did in the last round of the league. One of the hardest working players, you know, came back from some very serious injuries that threatened his career. So, you know, congrats to him for, you know, even if you were to say a few years ago that he'd be playing his third year in first division, you would say, oh, wow, like it's a miracle of science. And if you're going on that he's a leading player that, you know, most people in the game think he's one of the highest upside players in the league right now. I mean, that's just fantastic. I'm so happy for the kid.
Yeah, that's great news. Let's move over to Hapoel Jerusalem. They have a new coach. It is Oren Amiel from Nimberg. The Israeli returns to the Holy Land. Of course, Oren Amiel was an assistant coach for Hapoel Jerusalem a number of years ago. I believe
assistant
under
for Brad.
Brad Greenberg, yes. I was about to say that. Assistant to Brad Greenberg. He was very successful in Nimberg, comes back to the Holy Land. Starting to make some moves out of Ariel. He will return to the club. Adikon Saban is rumored that he will return as well. Tamir Blatt obviously not continuing with the team. But there's going to be a lot of work that they have to do over there, AJ. They're going to have a busy and busy time putting their team together. They've made a few other signings. And Willie Workman bringing in the heart and soul, really, of what's going to be a whole Jerusalem team right now, in my opinion. Willie's a guy that's going to, you know, going to work his tail off. He's going to worm around. He's going to get those rebounds. He's going to be a pain. The perfect guy for any team. And then, of course, they did sign a guard from Belgium, Retin Obasahan, and he joins the club as well. But there's still going to be a ton of signings over here. They have their work cut out for them to try to get back up to the top levels of European basketball again. Hapoel Jerusalem does, AJ.
Yeah, I mean, Jerusalem's roster right now is definitely still bare bones compared to what the finished product will be.
Of course.
You know, Oren, he was over in Nimberg, which, you know, I actually had a chance to be an assistant for Muli Katsurin in 2014-15. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for those who don't know, Muli Katsurin, after a decorated career in Israel, took over as the head coach of Nimberg. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he had Nano Ginzburg as his assistant. And, you know, they've won many, many titles, competed in high levels of Europe, and kind of just been passing the torch, you know, from Muli Katsurin to Nano Ginzburg, and then from Nano, you know, when he went to the national team, which now is going to be in the Olympics, passed the torch on to Oren. And Nimberg is a much smaller club than Hapoel Jerusalem.
Oh, yes.
And they've managed to build it into a, you know, a very strong club with less resources than they have in Jerusalem, less supporters, you know, that I think for Oren, you know, after, you know, he's found many, you know, diamonds in the rough during the years in Nimberg. I think that this is, you know, a fit like a glove for him coming into Jerusalem. I think that, you know, organizationally, there are a lot of things that, you know, Jerusalem can benefit from Oren's expertise being in Nymburk. I think it's a good move for them. I think, you know, it's an Israeli coach with the Champions League experience, Champions League Coach of the Year.
Yes.
So, you know, it should be a great match. And I'm actually really excited to see the team that he's building, just because I think he might sign some foreigners who are, you know, for many of the league, might be just out of left field and could end up being studs. So yeah. You know, I'm excited to see what they do.
Yeah, let's move along. Maccabi Rishon LeZion Gagudis will be back. And he's just also just starting to sign his players. So it's going to be a long road for him. But one player that he did bring down from Gilboa Galil is Natan Alarcy for the next two seasons, which I think is a nice move. And I'm happy to see Natan Alarcy. I think it's a little bit of a move up for him. I think Gilboa Galil is going to have a lot of work to do. We're not going to really get into them today. But I like Natan Alarcy. I think it's going to be a nice opportunity for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can pretty much see from the timing that Jerusalem was debating between Workman and Natan Alarcy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, seeing that the Alarcy signing was announced quite shortly after, you know, Willie Workman signing was announced.
Mm-hmm.
Similar position, similar types of player. Alarcy is a little bit younger, you know, significantly younger.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think for Alarcy, you know, being a starter on a championship team at his age last year, you know, on a back-to-back team that went to the finals, you know, not championship, but, you know, runner-up.
Mm-hmm.
For the last 2 years, it's an amazing experience. Very athletic kid. It's definitely a good pickup, you know, based off of what's in the market now for Rishon. The real question for them, I think, is you know, is it a done deal that Noam Dovrat's going to come back? It looks like he will, but I think that's going to be, you know, the. You know, anyway, Maccabi Rishon always finds a way to bring good foreign players. Guy Gudis is a fantastic coach.
Yeah.
They're for sure going to find a way to compete. I think if you're going to try to talk, you know, I know in Rishon, they're always getting their eye. They want to add as many Final Four appearances as they can in every competition. I think for them to be a Final Four team, it's going to really depend if Dovrat's going to be there.
Yeah. We'll see how that goes. Bnei Herzliya, Oren Aharoni, he takes over for Sharon Drucker. Max Heidegger will not be back. He signs with Oldenburg in Germany. Another player that I'm kind of disappointed that we're losing in the Israeli league, of course, he's on loan from Maccabi Tel Aviv. I assume that they didn't want to loan him out to Jerusalem or to Holon. And I know that he wanted to play European basketball. So that is kind of probably how this also works out. He also holds Austrian citizenship, so there's probably some kind of a deal with the German league as well over there. So it should be a nice opportunity for Max Heidegger outside of the borders of Israel. But again, I would have loved to see him play here again. Hopefully he'll be back next season. Oren Aharoni, thoughts on Oren Aharoni taking over the job?
I mean, I think with Oren and also Zufi Avdia, they've kind of taken on this identity of building a young team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, trying to, you know, change the identity of the club. I actually saw a quite funny Facebook post the other day in Kila Kadursa where they, you know, photoshopped Bnei Herzliya logo to have like a Maccabi Tel Aviv logo in the background.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can joke about it all you want, but Maccabi Tel Aviv's youth department has been, you know, we can sit here and look at Denny and Yovel Zussman, but if you go top down, you know, they've had, you know, bench players who are, you know, playing in first and second division out there from their youth department. They've done a fantastic job. You know, they just signed Dori Sahar, who, you know, he might have been a poster boy in Maccabi, and, you know, a guy who, you know, maybe Maccabi fans were like happy every time he'd score a basket, but this kid can play. He's for sure a good rotation player in the league. You know, they're keeping Yair Kravitz. Just signed Sandy Cohen, who also, you know, while he might not have been an impact player in Maccabi, he for sure will be, as an Israeli, a great player on any other team in the league, mm-hmm. especially in Herzliya. And, you know, it's like we got short memories in in basketball that, you know, Oren, he's been to Maccabi for quite a while, but he played in college. He played in the Israeli league for many years. He was a national team player. He was an assistant coach in the first division, was a head coach in second division that moved his team up to first division in Givat Shmuel and coached in first division in Givat Shmuel. So this isn't some juniors coach who's getting a chance to coach pros. This is a guy who, you know, anybody who's been in coaching in Israeli league knows is among the best coaches in Israel. And that, you know, just was, Maccabi wanted a top coach to be the guy who's developing their talent. And, how many Israeli coaches in the history have developed, an NBA player, multiple guys who got look in summer league, guys who play in Europe. I think all the national team achievements that we've had over the years, he's definitely played a big part of it in developing these guys. You can even see that his son, just, from osmosis, from playing for him and growing up with him, is a genius point guard. If he would be taller, I would say he'd be a top level prospect. So I think that's a good fit. I'm excited to see what they'll do there. I'd be surprised if they'll be, a contender to go the distance or anything like that. But I think that it's good for there to be teams in the league that have, maybe in the first year they might not, have instant results. But you see what Gilboa did when they decide that the identity of their team is to, give young players and hungry players a chance. I think it's good for the league. And, I wish them the best of luck.
Yeah, Gilboa Galil, we're going to have to see who's going to be the coach if Guy Kaplan's going to take over, and that is the word for Avishai Gordon. No other real movements over there. They signed the player Romelu White out of college. He's going to be playing there. Be'er Sheva, they bring back Amir Bell. They bring in back Neta Segal. They also have Amit Zis continuing with them. A new player, Derek Pardon, is going to be starting with them as well. So they've made a number of moves. Hapoel Haifa, they brought in Spencer Weiss, but of course they're still under construction there also. Finally, last but not least of the teams that, the main core teams that were in the league last year, Hapoel Tel Aviv. Now, Hapoel Tel Aviv has one big wild card of Yam Hadar. Yam Hadar, of course, drafted in the 2020 NBA draft by the Boston Celtics, 47th overall, is in the United States, planning to play with the Summer League team. An arbitrator just ruled that his contract, which there's apparently 1 year left on, it is still good and valid, and he is property of Hapoel Tel Aviv. Hapoel Tel Aviv are playing through the media, saying that, we knew that we were, he was still our property, and that Yam will one day reach his dreams, and we're excited that he will be back with us. Yam Hadar's people, apparently, from what we understand, are going to probably, challenge the arbitrator's ruling. Nothing will change. But at the end of the day, if the Boston Celtics really want him, I'm sure they will be able to find the cash to transfer the rights over to the Celtics earlier than Hapoel Tel Aviv is making it out to be. We have a number of great pieces about Yam Hadar right now on sportsrabbi.com in English and in Hebrew. You can read about his first coach, Yoram Avivzdor. There's a huge interview with him. Also, we speak to some of the, Boston Celtics fan sites, and they give their opinion about how the Celtics right now could use a point guard. A lot of them like what they see from him. We're going to have to see what's going to happen. AJ Mitnick, where's Yam Hadar going to be playing basketball this coming season?
I mean, if I were a betting man, I would say the Boston Celtics. I think, especially with, you can take deep rosters in the NBA and you can have some players down to the G League. I see him getting either a two-way or even maybe a guaranteed deal that he gets sent back to the G League at some points in the season. I think he's not all the way seasoned. I don't think he can be like the lead point guard of their team from day one.
No,
but he's an extremely talented player. I mean, he's been posting some of his workouts, and you can just see the talent that he has. Take away playing in the games. This is just an extremely talented young player that if you put him in an NBA system, I think, you know, obviously, just like anyone else, I'd love to have him in Hapoel Tel Aviv next year. Love to have him in Israeli league. It'll be so fun to watch. But on the other hand, I think as soon as he, it's better for him to start getting acclimated to American NBA basketball, you know, as early as he can to get NBA habits, you know, with the NBA 3-point line, NBA spacing. I'm very excited to see how he'll do in summer league. And, you know, if I'm a betting man, I think he's a Celtic next year.
Yeah, I see. I agree with you. I'm sure that, you know, money can buy everything, as they say. And I'm sure that if the Celtics want him badly enough, they'll find a way to get them. Hapoel Tel Aviv is taking the, you know, of course, the diplomatic road, making sure that they will get the most out of this. But when push will come to shove, they're not going to force him to play with the team, you know, if he has an opportunity to go play for the Boston Celtics. I don't see that happening. So, Yam Hadar, it's exciting. I think it's really super exciting. We have a whole week of Yam Hadar stuff coming out in Hebrew and in English, covering him up and down. A couple of other basketball news and notes. You mentioned it a little bit before, but the Czech Republic, they're going to be playing in the Olympics in a group with the United States and Iran, I might add. And Neno Ginzburg, an Israeli, is the coach of that team, which is super exciting. So we do have a representative in the basketball aspect of the Olympics. It will be interesting when they play Iran. Will the head coach of Iran shake his hand?
Yeah, I mean, will they shake the Americans' hands either? You never know.
I know. There's some interesting questions there. But it's really amazing how the Czech Republic were able to go through that group in Victoria, BC, in Canada. They take out Canada. They take out Greece. They do what they have to do to get through. There's a reason why they're the 12th best team in the world, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we touched on it, you know, when we were talking about Orin Amiel, you know, just the the brilliance that Neto and Muli and Orin have brought, like Nymburk, and, you know, also just building up that national team program pretty much from nothing to being a team that's playing in the Olympics. You know, so that's going to be a really exciting story. I would say maybe on paper, they're probably among the least strong teams in the Olympics, but they're definitely stronger than Iran on paper. So, you know, hopefully, I think most listeners to this this podcast will agree with me that we'll be pretty fun to see an Israeli coach put a beat down on the Iranian national team. So, yeah, that should be exciting. I think, you know, all of us in Israel are quite proud. And hopefully we'll reach a point where all these, you know, good young Israeli players we have are going to be, you know, joining him on that stage.
The under-20s, they will be heading out to their Challenger tournament in, I believe they're playing in Crete, Heraklion, and their Challenger tournament. The under-18s will be hosting here in Israel at the beginning of August, the under-16s later on in August.
You know, while we're on the topic of speaking about young players, you know, I know you,
Noam Yaakov.
We're sitting courtside talking, you know, seeing Noam Yaakov. Yeah, that's a pretty amazing signing him to sign in Oslo Villarban.
That's it. We should talk about that for a second. Noam Yaakov, of course, you can read interviews that in English and in Hebrew that were done by the sports rabbi and Moshe Halichman. Noam Yaakov, 17-year-old. He's slated to play with the under-18 team here in Israel. He signs with Oslo Villarban. Spoke about talking to Tony Parker himself as he was being signed to that contract. He's going to be playing with their under-20 team as well. He'll probably see minutes with the big boys as well. That's really an amazing story. I mean, really, out of nowhere is this guy, Noam Yaakov, comes from Denmark, Israeli father, Danish mother, and here he is going to play in a EuroLeague franchise. Not bad, eh?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that's crazy about it is, you know, like just this past year with COVID and travel restrictions, you know, even just a couple months ago, you know, talking to a guy like you or even some other like coaches who came out to see him play like in the, you know, cup and the playoffs of the under 18, like the Noir League in Israel, that to know that a kid playing in Emek Hefer with no international travel can get looks from some of the top teams in the world to the point that Tony Parker is watching him play and then getting on a Zoom call and signing him. I think that really is like the biggest credit to guys like Denny, to guys like Zussman, you know, even to go back to guys like Caspi and Gal Mekel, who, you know, worked hard and, you know, got to, like, the biggest stage, even further back to Lior Eliyahu, Yotam Halperin, that, you know, they've put Israeli players, you know, at front and center, you know, like Tom Brody, like, put them on the map, that, you know, nowadays with the internet, even if people can't fly into Israel, a kid that's playing an Emek Hefer that I would be willing to bet 99% of people who are listening to this don't know where Emek Hefer is in Israel.
For the people that do want to know,
right, it's between, near Netanya.
It's between Netanya and Hedera. It's the area, district of that area.
Yeah, that, you know, I mean, also big credit to Yehu Orlan, who just signed in second division with Kevin Modine to be their head coach. You know, that he took over that program that they were nothing. Nobody knew about them in Israel and, you know, put them to be a champion. That in and of itself, even besides for the fact that Noam, you know, is probably among the best juniors in high school from last year in all of Europe, like he definitely deserves this position. I just think, you know, clap your hands to Israeli basketball that we've gotten to the point that a junior playing in a small town can sign in a EuroLeague team. That's incredibly exciting.
It is very exciting. AJ Mitnick, it's been exciting to have you on board here with the Sports Rabbi today. Where can people find you if they want to reach out to you, especially about Inter Alia?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at AJMitnick44 or on Twitter at AJ Mitnick.
Of course. An honor and a pleasure to have you on board. The Sports Rabbi at the Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, sportsrabbi.com. Hope you all enjoyed this 200th episode of the Sports Rabbi Show. It was a blast with Jimmy Traina and, of course, AJ Mitnick. AJ, we'll speak to you very soon because I'm sure there will be many, many, many more moves in Israeli basketball. Who knows? Gal Mekel may be the next domino to fall. We'll speak to you soon.
Take care.